Well, tonight we're delighted to have the Vessels with us. They're serving the Lord in the field, and we appreciate so much their ministry. I know that they come through every now and then and visit Mrs. Smits, and I know she's glad to have them in. And I want you to know that we pray for you. We read your letters, we update our prayer booklets, and we remember you in prayer. So we're delighted tonight to have you come and just update us with what's going on, and we look forward to it. So, Brother, if you'll come at this time.
Will you open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 2? This morning, I thought Brother Todd was going to preach my message for me, and I guess it's a good thing he preached a lot of it so that I can be very brief tonight. This morning, he opened to Mark chapter 16 and gave us a great overview of the book of Mark and the history of it and the background of it. And from the message this morning, demonstrated for us in a very clear way how much our God loves us and how much He has served us through His Son, Jesus Christ. What I want to do tonight is take just a minute and look at a few verses here and hopefully help us think even more about how to respond to Jesus the servant and how to respond to His service to us in a way that would be appropriate. So in Mark chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 13. The last time I was here, I spoke from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I hope someday to get out of the book of Mark chapter 2. I'm a slow reader, and so I'm working on it, but we're going to pick up from verse 13. It says, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitudes resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom." Now, do you know who Levi, the son of Alphaeus, is? That's Matthew. In the book of Matthew, we have this same story, and he identifies himself with his name Matthew. So, this is Matthew the apostle, okay? "Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that it speaks to our hearts. We thank you for the opportunity to be here together on this glorious Easter day to celebrate your death and resurrection and for what that means to each of us in our lives. I thank you, Father, for each one who's here tonight. I pray that you would bless them for their faithfulness. I pray that you would encourage them, strengthen them, challenge them, convict them where necessary. I pray, Father, that all of that would begin in my heart, and that if there's anything that would hinder you from working here tonight, please cleanse me, fill me with thy spirit, and give me the words that need to be spoken. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. When we went to China 11 years ago, again, some of you have heard this before, but it became very clear that to tell somebody we were a Christian didn't mean a lot. In the Chinese mindset, everybody in America is a Christian. So for us to say we're a Christian, 我们是基督徒, in their mind they heard 我是美国人, 基督徒 is Christian, 美国人 is American. So in their mind when they heard Christian, they just heard American. That didn't mean anything. For us to be able to share who we were in Christ, we had to think about how can we communicate this in a way that will distinguish ourselves and leave the culture behind and identify ourselves as being changed people in Christ. And so we began to talk to other Chinese Christians, we began to think about it, and what came to the surface for us was we needed to tell people that we were followers of Jesus Christ. Now I've got to be honest, I've grown to like that even better than calling myself a Christian. Christian becomes a title if we're not careful. It's something we wear, it's a badge that we put on. But when I tell someone I am a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm telling them that I'm doing something for Him. You see the difference? And even in those times when I share that, there are times when the Holy Spirit will prick my heart and say, "So Don, how have you been following me today?" And I have to stop and think, Have I been following you well or not? This particular passage gives us the account of Jesus calling one of his apostles to follow him. There are, and very quickly, I'll just give you these three things that I want us to look at, and you can take some time yourself to kind of flesh this out, because I'm not going to take the time tonight and keep you here unduly long. But the first thing that I want us to see is the call that Jesus made. Look at verse 14. It says, "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom." What is the receipt of custom? Taxes. Yeah. Now, I don't know. Last time I was here in America, the IRS was not the most popular agency of our government. Has that changed? Think about all of the feelings that you have about the IRS here, and multiply that like 1,000 times. And that's what the people of this day felt about the tax collectors. Because they were not only guys that were taking money out of their pockets, they were traitors. They sided with Rome. And most of the time they were thieves, because they became rich on the backs of the people they were collecting taxes from. They collected extra taxes for their own pockets. And the people hated them. If you'll allow me to slip into my North Carolina vernacular for just a minute, they were low-down, dirty, rotten, possum-bellied, yellow-livered, spineless, no-good, dirty, rotten scoundrels. You know what that means? You with me? I mean, they were the worst of the worst. And yet, here's this guy, Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. Jesus, in verse 13, is surrounded by a multitude of people. They are thronging him. They all want to hear what he's saying. He has the choice, the pick of the litter. And he looks past all of that multitude to one man, Levi. And what's interesting to me is that he's not even the most likely guy for him to call, is he? I think Jesus does that most of the time. He tends to call the most unlikely, because then he can use us and share the glory. I mean, the glory is his, but he shares it with us. He calls the most unlikely person, but it's a personal call. Look at verse 14. He said unto, what's the next word? Him, follow me. Right? He didn't say, hey, you guys, come follow us. He didn't say, hey, Matthew, come follow our group, follow us. It was personal. It was between Jesus and Levi. He said to him. Now, I'm not the greatest English teacher in the world, but I know that that's one guy. Him. There were other tax collectors there. There were other people there. But it was a personal call to Levi. And it was a personal call not to join the ministry, not to be a missionary, not to write a gospel in the New Testament. It was a call for Levi to walk with Jesus. Do you see that? Now that's critical. Because here's the thing. If he doesn't get that part right, then all the rest of it is a burden. If we don't learn to walk with Jesus first, if we don't put the walk in front of the work, we become tired and discouraged and burdened, and we burn out and we quit. And I'm preaching to myself, because I am notorious for putting the work before the walk. And this past year has been one of the hardest years I've ever had in China. I've been busier than I've ever been. I've been challenged in ways I've never been challenged before. And I've realized that in many of those cases, I've put the work in front of the walk. Jesus says, "Come unto me, take my yoke upon you, for my work is easy, my burden is light." Isn't that what he says? So why is it when I'm trying to do the work of the Lord, it doesn't feel easy and light? Because I'm doing it. When you take His yoke upon you, we all know what a yoke is, right? It's that wooden device that links two oxen together to pull the load. Who's in the other side of the yoke? Christ. And when He's pulling that, our part of it should be light and easy. But when we try to do it without walking with Him, without that intimate personal relationship connection with Him, where He fills us with His Spirit and His power and His strength, and He fills our heart to overflowing with joy and with care and love that will then spill out on those around us, and we're having to generate that ourselves, it's hard. So I wanted to encourage all of us, if you're sitting here tonight and you know Christ as Savior, you're just like Matthew. He's called you. There are two parts to this call. There's the call to salvation. Come to me. I want to see your life changed. Leave what you're doing as a tax collector and do what I'm doing. Right? Changing of life. But there's also a call to service here, all at the same time. He says, come and follow me. Now, in our North American kind of Christian mindset, we tend to compartmentalize it. Someone gets saved, somewhere down the road they dedicate their life to the Lord, they might rededicate their life to the Lord, and somewhere then they answer a call to ministry. And what I would say is, Jesus calls us to salvation and service all at once. It's not a multiple deal. And when we answer that call to salvation, we have the responsibility to answer the call to service. And the greatest service He gives us is to share what He's done in our heart with those around us. We can't do it on our own, but when we're walking with Him side by side, He gives us the strength and the power, the boldness, the courage to do what He's asked us to do. We see that in this passage. In the very next verses, we see, what does Matthew do? He has a dinner. Yeah, he gets up, he arose, he followed Him. He didn't have preconceived ideas. He didn't have conditions. He didn't have any hesitation. When we answer the call in that way, He's going to use us to accomplish great things. And He did that with Matthew. Matthew has a meal in his house. Jesus and His disciples are sitting there. And who's at the dinner? People just like Matthew. Publicans and sinners. Who's outside looking through the window? The religious of the day. Right? Why is that the case? Because when Matthew met Jesus, his life changed. And he didn't have all the answers. He didn't know all the doctrines. He didn't understand everything. But he knew that right away, his job was to tell all the guys he knew, you got to come meet this fella. He's changed my heart. He's given me something I've never had before, and I want you to meet him. It didn't happen somewhere down the road after he had gone through seminary. It happened right then. And at this dinner, filled with publicans and sinners, what does it say happened? It says in verse 15, Jesus sat at meat in his house. Many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. You see how it works? He called Matthew. Matthew answered immediately. He began to share with those around him, and one turned into many. Isn't that great? So there's a call. When we answer it, there's an accomplishment that He uses us to accomplish. But I promise you, whenever something like that happens, there's always going to be a conflict. Because those guys standing outside looking in the windows, they were not happy. Right? How dare He eat with those people? If He knew what they were like, if He knew who they were, He would never allow Himself to eat with those people. Now, I don't know. I might step on a toe or two. I'm sorry if I do. But I have to step on my own toes sometimes. Because I'm afraid that sometimes as believers and as people who cherish what's right and cherish God's Word and believe in truth and guard it with all that we are, we can become such guardians of truth that we become isolated from the very world we're called to share with. Because we're so afraid that if we get connected with that group in any way, it's going to somehow diminish our ability to guard the truth. Living in a foreign culture, it's really easy to get inside a bubble of foreigners and become isolated from the very people I'm there to work with. And I'm afraid here in our North American religious context, that's also possible. Jesus sat down with people that were nothing like Him. He sat down with people that He probably didn't like sitting down with very much. But He did it to win them. And I think it's important to remember, He did it without becoming like them. The Bible never teaches us to become like the world in order to win the world. But He does call us to be in the world and to be connected to the world. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can become so disconnected from the world in order to guard testimony, in order to guard whatever, to guard truth, that we come to a point we don't even know unsafe people. We don't have relationships with anybody that we can share with. I would encourage us, particularly as we see America changing, for us as believers in our culture to be impactful and effective, it's going to require us to connect ourselves and have relationships with people that look nothing like us sometimes. And people that are going to make us feel uncomfortable sometimes. And people that we might not even like very much sometimes. But that's okay. Because then we become that little light in a very dark place. Right? And it's through that light that they see truth and they find hope, as we talked about this morning. When we do that, there's going to be some people that aren't going to understand. And they're going to criticize. And the devil's going to get involved and he's going to stir up things and there's going to be conflicts. Don't be afraid of the conflict. Don't be afraid of the criticism. Jesus lived through it very well, didn't He? How was He able to stand in the midst of the criticism? He had a very clear purpose. He knew exactly what He was here to do. And He tells us that in verse 17. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And He's given us that same calling. When He called us to Himself in salvation, He called us to follow Him, to serve Him, and to share with those around us. To not limit that sharing, but to do it openly with all that we come in contact with. I encourage you, as we work together, we're a team. You hold the rope for us. We could not be in China without you. We all share the same calling. God just happened to put us in Chengdu to do it, and He's put you here in Milton to do it. But the calling is the same. Share what Jesus has done in my heart with the people that I meet. Show Jesus to the world around me, to those who need Him most. And be prepared to answer the questions that they have as I do it. So as we celebrate the hope that He's given us, and we celebrate and we remember the service that Jesus has done for us as He lived and suffered here on this earth, died and rose again, let us respond with that same level of service. Let us respond answering the call as Levi did, to follow Him personally, daily, looking for the opportunities when they come, and then taking advantage of those opportunities as they present themselves to share what Jesus has meant to us. Okay? You do it here. We'll do it in China, and we'll see how the Father will grow the kingdom. Because at the end of the day, it's all about Him. It's not about us. It's all about Him and being and doing what He would have us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for the love that You've shown us. Thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son. Thank You for the way that You provide for us every day, new life in You. I pray, Lord, this evening that You would speak to each of our hearts according to Your will. Take something that was said here, apply it as You would see fit, and use it for Your honor and Your glory. For it's in Your precious name we pray. Amen.